We'll expedite the September 6, 2013 rain report in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, with this rain report. While the HF ham bands have not been all things to all hams in recent months, there are a number of folks who have been working the world on 5 watts or less, i.e. QRP. Last time, author and veteran QRP-er DXer Rich Arlen, K7SZ, talked about some of the antennas he has found useful for QRP work. This time, he'll be talking about new equipment you may want to investigate for racking up those countries on just a couple of watts.
The new QRP rigs are on the block. The FT817's been around a while, and it's still selling very, very well. You'll still pay upwards to $600 and $700 for them on eBay when they got the filters in them and everything. Good little radio. I've had 3 of them. They follow me home. I use them for a while, and they find a new home. Ellicraft K1, K2, K3, and KX1, and the KX3. Those are probably the Cadillacs of QRP, especially that K3. That is one hell of a radio. MFJ 9000 series. They have the 9400 series, which is sideband version, and 92 series, which is the CW version. They all work. They're designed by Rick Littlefield. It's got a good, stable design there, and they're great for taking on trips and having a lot of fun with. ICOM 703, unfortunately, that's no longer made. I've owned one. Good little radio. It'll put out about 10, 12 watts. And again, it's nice sounding on CW. Works on data. Had it hooked up to a signal link and was doing PSK. Kits, Dentech has transceiver kits. MFJ Cub, which is covered in a book. Wilderness Radio. They no longer have the SST or the Sierra. Those have been sold out, and he's not really going to re-kit them. NorCal 40A is the only one he has currently in production, and that has become a project for junior and senior engineering students at Caltech. They are given a bare board, and they have to source the parts, put it together, make it work, and then they design and build the 500-watt Class E amplifier to go with it. Now, when you want to see something really weird, you see this NC40 sitting there and a little box about the same size putting out 500 watts, and it's really kind of, whoa. Small Wonder Labs has PSK and CW kits, Ellicraft, of course. Tunitin 2, I think most of the larger clubs have gone ahead and kitted that at one time or another. I think the 4 States QRP Club is still kitting that. And it's a good little Tunitin. Initially, it was a 1979 issue of QST. Doug DeMaugh, W1CER, later W1FB, took a handful of parts he got from Radio Shack and an old Tunitin and put them together and made an article out of it. This is what you can do. And it put out about 700, 800 milliwatts. Ed Hare, who runs the lab at ARRL, about 1998-1999, found the original Tunitin in a junk box at a ham fest that he was at, and it had gone away from the lab, been sold, been traded, been cut up, everything else, and he brought it back to life. And that started a little event we call the Zombie Shuffle on Halloween Eve, and I was up there in 1999. I had the pleasure of using that radio. And it's really a gas because my receiver was an Omni 6. Well, I was putting out about 450, 500 milliwatts. On 20 meters, they had a couple others build up for 20 and 15. The original one worked on 40. And they're crystal controlled. I worked with Jim Larson, AL7FS, up in Alaska on 20. And Ed comes in, he says, "You're about ready for a battery change. It's getting a little chirpy." Apparently, he was listening to me on a spare receiver. And he said, "Let's measure the power output." It was like 250, 300 milliwatts. And he said, "Come here." And we go outside. He said, "Take a look up there." And I looked up at the 20-meter monobander, and it's pointing broadside to Alaska, which is about a 25 dB attenuation. So Jim heard around a 250 to 300 milliwatt signal attenuated by 25 dB. Anybody want to do the math? Down in a picowatt range. I was pretty damn impressed. They let me have that one, and I gave it to him at Atlanticon here a few years later when he came down from the Great White North. Tentec gear, they just came out with the Argonaut 6. Tentec has very happily sponsored QRP throughout the years, starting back in the early 70s with the PM series. The SGC 2020 is probably one of the most rugged QRP rigs. They're no longer made. Again, they look like a military radio, but they're really rugged. The only downside on those things is it takes both hands to operate them because you have to use a push button and a dial to sit there and change modes, change power levels, do anything you want to do. The Heathkit HW789, you still find those a lot on eBay, Hamfest. If you're going to buy one of those, take a real close look at it. Be sure somebody hasn't hacked it all up and done some modifications you have to undo to make it work. FT7, FT7B by Yaesu back in the late 70s, early 80s. Kenwood TS120 and 130. The Victor model, not the Sierra model. Those are 10-watt radios in for the 10-watt license in Japan. They imported a bunch of them. They didn't sell too well, so they quit selling it. But I've owned two TS130s. They're great little radios.
You're listening to a 2013 Dayton Hamvention talk by QRPDXer Rich Arlen, K7SZ, talking about the HF gear available today for QRP work, communicating with the world on 5 watts or less. We'll conclude Rich's talk in a moment. This is The Rain Report, available 24/7 from therainreport.com.
You are listening to The Rain Report from www.therainreport.com.
The Index Lab Plus is another QRP rig, built by the same guy, or designed by the same guy that designed the SGC-2020. It's a good radio, but again, it's a little bit operator intensive, shall we say. QRP homebrew gear, all sorts of ARRL articles. All the different clubs have construction articles in them. I mean, the one thing about QRP, it goes hand in hand with home construction, homebrew, and it's really cool. Printed circuit boards are available through Far Circuits. They do a great job. The only thing that they don't do, and they may have changed, but the last time I checked, they don't have plated through holes, so if you have a double-sided circuit board, you have to solder both top and bottom of the circuit board. Standard parts suppliers, JMPO, DigiKey, Mauser. Allied Radio is still in business. This is one of the World War II parasets. This has become a cult following also. There's a couple of Italians that decided they were going to build one or two of these things from the original drawings done by the British SOE, Special Operations Executive, during World War II. And this is a three-tube transmitter receiver, not a transceiver, transmitter receiver, CW only. And they were also built into suitcases, and they were built into loaves of bread and then taken apart. Amazing technology for the time. The word got out, and these guys had a flood of people talking about, I want to build one too. So now there's a whole bunch of people building these things and using them. One guy uses them in Colorado when he goes hiking up in the mountains, and he lugs that along. Use one of those just one time, and you get the feel for what it would be like in World War II to be a French or Dutch resistance operator with the Gestapo trying to find you, and you're trying to send a message to your handler back in Britain that you just discovered a whole bunch of stuff that's going to go on in D-Day. And that's exactly what they used him for. Puts things in a whole different context. In QRP, I don't use it to go find the DX. I use it to stay away from the DX. Why do you really think I have a chance with 5 watts on BY1 from China when 25,000 of my closest friends are running a kilowatt or better and trying to work him on the same frequency? No. So I use it for exactly the opposite of what it was intended for. But it works out quite well. How far can you go? Worldwide communications with 5 watts. On the East Coast here, we can work into Europe, Central and South America, Caribbean, when we get sunspots. 10 and 15 meters become a place to be. And 10 meters in some of these contests opens up, you don't even need 5 watts. You can use a watt and a half, 2 watts. It's crazy. AA4XX, Paul Stroud, K3WTF, who's now K3BX, Fran Slavinsky. Paul's in Raleigh, North Carolina. Fran's in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. Actually, Larksville, Pennsylvania. Set the 40-meter world record for 1995. And they turned around and broke it in 1996. 96 microwatts over a 422-mile path. That's 4 million miles per watt. And that was what they did, is they transmitted, and they had a code word. The other guy had to copy the code word correctly to make a valid QSO. I ended up working Ron in New Zealand on a completely dead 20-meter band. I mean, I heard nothing but noise. I thought I had the antenna disconnected for a while. Put out a CQ twice. He came up. We had a 20-minute conversation, 12,000-mile path. Nobody else on the band, seriously. SSB, everybody says, oh, you always use CW. No, I use CW and data and SSB. You can use phone. You just got to be a better operator. You got to be a little more cagey. You got to understand the propagation. You've got to understand where your antennas are at. You've got to make use of the tools that you have, and you can easily do it. It's not going to be successful all the time, but you will. PSK 31 is still a great mode. The AMQRP group has the NUA PSK modem, which is a standalone modem, doesn't need a computer. Plug it into your radio. If you have a K3, it already does that. Same with the KX3. All these things, RIDI, AMTOR, per packet, Olivia, and Hell, all doable with QRP. Skip Teller has an audio circuitry and a little thing you build up, so you can take an older transceiver like the Argonaut, the 509 and the 515, plug that in there and plug in your digital modem and work it on a 35, 40-year-old radio. Challenge is doing more with less, and you can easily do that with QRP. QRP reduces QRM, TV RFI, and introduces a sense of adventure that was part of the early days of radio. For those of us who are novices back in the 60s and 70s, this gets back to our roots, quite frankly. It causes the operator to hone their skills, improve their skill set, be better operators. And the one thing about QRP gear is right here. You can take it with you. And that's cool because every time we go out of the house and go down to Wendy's in Tampa or up the kids' house in Wilkes-Barre, Trish says, "You got the radios?" "Yeah, I got the radios." "Good, because that means I'm out of her hair."
And that concludes our two excerpts from the QRP Forum held at the 2013 Dayton Hamvention. Our speaker was QRPDXer Rich Arlen, K7SZ, author of the ARRL book, Low Power Communications, The Art and Science of QRP. The RAIN Report is copyright 1990 through 2013 RAIN, all rights reserved. I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, bidding you very 73 from the Radio Amateur Information Network. www.therainreport.com.